Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, February 17th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have Multichain Live with Thorchain, Luna, Bitcoin, and more. Let's take a listen.
Yo, what's up, guys? Let me find Chad Thoreau real quick. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up? I'm good. You hosting any other spaces today? You're so busy, man.
Yeah, it's been a lot lately. This is my only one today. There was some others, I think one or two other ZeroX Ventures one, but I was like, somebody else has to handle this. I've got so much.
Yeah. They've been popping off like crazy too.
Yeah. They're cranking them out. It's been fun. Like just getting to learn about a lot of other protocols and stuff like that. I don't necessarily spend all of my time like learning about, and then suddenly it's like, oh, like, hey, there's a space. So suddenly it's like you're thrown into the deep end and kind of have to learn about a new thing, which is a great way to learn.
Yeah. And you get to talk to the people who are actually like making the stuff, you know, like you actually talk to the people who are, the ones behind behind the things that they're like, they know what they're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Like even a few months ago, I would have never thought would be doing stuff like that, like co-hosting with Chad Barefoot, or talk to the founder of XDeFi yesterday. It's pretty wild how in crypto you can just show up and start doing stuff if you want.
Yeah, speaking of Chad, I think he's at ETH Denver right now. There's a bunch of Thorchain people at ETH Denver. There's a meetup on Saturday, I think, just for people in the Thorchain ecosystem and stuff like that. So hopefully they get some good exposure out at ETH Denver, because I think it's a good time to be bringing a lot of eyes onto what's going on here.
Yeah, for sure. Have you gone to any like crypto conferences yourself?
I've been to just like the NFT New York.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's where I met. I met Saigon there. We went to this Brazilian steakhouse at Chad Barefoot was there. I was there at like the Bored Ape stuff, and then he was in town, so we met up, and it was a ton of fun.
Nice, that's cool.
I should go out to some of these things though, because they seem like they're a bunch of fun. And yeah, if anyone in the audience will hop up and just talk about anything, then that's kind of what we're doing here. Just like a chill, chill spaces where we talk about stuff that interests us, like Thorchain, Luna, whatever is going on right now is kind of just what we just riff about for like an hour and a half normally.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty unstructured. So if anyone wants to just kind of throw themselves into the conversation and see where it goes, but we can chat Thorchain, Luna integration stuff, everything that's coming up. Oh, we got Sefi.
Guys, how are you this afternoon?
Hey.
Yo, Sefi.
What's up?
How's it going?
Our little like giveaway thing was pretty popular.
Yeah, that it's looked, I saw it this morning. It had like, you had like 500 retweets or something. I haven't checked on it, but pretty strong exposure. So yeah, thanks for pushing it out there.
Yeah, it seems like people do like the anything regarding sort of like Luna UST expansion cross chain is popular for sure.
Yeah, it's just so there's so much crossover, right? Like it's just really so positive for both ecosystems. Like Thorchain inherently brings new fundamentals to Terra, and then at the same time, like now Thorchain has UST, which obviously we're all a fan of. So it's just like makes a lot of sense. You know, people on both sides are just super excited. Like they're not competitive, right? Like there's so much competition in crypto, and everyone's like, oh, how is this gonna take away from my ecosystem, but with this it really just seems additive, you know, like just makes both stronger, so people are pumped.
Yeah, a lot of synergy. Yeah.
I think most people retweet just because they want the their respective ecosystems to succeed and just sort of get the exposure, maybe not even so much because they're, you know, worried that they're going to win the little giveaway or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Free money is pretty cool too, though. I mean, it's pretty, it's like five giveaway winners per day. So each influencer is doing the same thing. And then, so that's like quite a lot of chance to win.
Yeah, hopefully someone gets away with that little cash hoard or whatever you guys got.
Yeah, if people don't know what we're talking about, ThorSwap is running like, I think it's 8 or 10 days of giveaways leading up to the Terra Thorchain integration. Saigon, I think your audio is doing something a little weird. Yeah, thanks. So like 8 or 10 days, and every day another person in the Terra or Thorchain space is hosting like a 24-hour giveaway. So 8 or 10 days in a row, and each one is 300 UST and 50 rune to 5 winners per day. So like 50 winners of like roughly $700 or $800 bucks of value total. So quite a good, pretty strong giveaway.
Who's running these giveaways?
So ThorSwap put it together, but basically we have like a rotation of 8 or 10 people, like people with followings in the Terra and Thorchain space. So Cephies is actually running today. Yesterday was Archon, and then, you know, I don't know if it's public yet. I don't know if I want to give away. I don't know if I'm supposed to say exactly who's coming up, but you know, other names like that are going to be running this giveaway over the next week or so. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah, Saigon, what's up?
Sub Dylan. Yeah, actually, shout out to ThorSwap on that. That initiative looks awesome, and the graphics look incredible. I think he's like, you know, futuristic boarding passes.
Yeah.
Limited to rune, I think is super well done.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job with those. They even like put each person's name on it. Like, so Cephies today, like it says Cephy right there in the on the pass as it's like rotating in 3D. It's like quite a bit of effort for pretty cool. We've got some good you know, strong team of various skills doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I do, you know, in this world of like you know, half decent look, you know, a lot of decent looking NFT projects, you know, it's almost like, you know, the bar is raised for like the level of graphic design necessary to sort of memify your system. So I think, you know, the more kind of cool and professional the shit looks, it just attracts more attention.
Yeah, it's like straight out of a video game or something. Like,
is it an NFT?
No, it's just like, if you just go to like Cephy's profile, you'll probably find it pretty quickly, but might be a few tweets down, but it's basically like a boarding pass. It's like this futuristic looking like rune pass or Terra rune pass, I think it was called. And
yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, just somebody on the ThorSwap team. I should shout them out, but I forget if it was which one actually did it. But yeah, I've seen some pretty crazy graphics coming out of the ThorSwap team. Like, it's wild just to have like,
yeah, they have a really good team. They showed me some sick videos too. I don't even know that they put them out yet, but this is a while ago, but Dave's a really good graphics team over there. Yeah.
Well guys, I've been waiting in the parking lot outside this place I got to run into. Just wanted to chat out to you guys and say what's up. And also I've been listening to the Thorchain weeklies that you guys have been hosting, and they're awesome. You guys are killing it. I love your guys' interactions and questions and everything. Super thoughtful. So thanks for everything you guys are doing, and keep hustling.
Yeah, thanks for putting us on, man.
Yeah, you were like the leader here. So, you know, props to you for kind of starting that initiative and inspiring all of us to hop on Spaces more.
Absolutely. And then, Chad, I sent you that request. Let's get you on the podcast here in the next couple of weeks and we'll go.
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. I'm pumped. As an early Rune-based listener, I'll be honored to be a guest.
Yes, sir. Full circle, yeah. Man. You know, it wasn't that long ago you were kicking around the idea on Twitter, and we connected about it then.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, honestly, it was like, I think it might have been my first tweet I ever made on this account. It was like, hey, I'm thinking about starting a Thorchain podcast. And like, Thorchain retweeted it, and I had like 2 followers. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, shit. what do I do?
And life gets in the way, but then life got out of the way, and now you're, and now you're doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Hey, quick question for you guys. I should know this by now, but is the sort of Terra Station connectivity to Thorchain, ThorSwap, like fully functional now, or where is that at right now?
So it's still on StageNet right now, but it's functional. Like, it's on StageNet is basically like essentially a clone of Thorchain, which is like a testing grounds, but it's not like a test net. It's like, there's actually real funds, and it's a way to kind of battle test things before they go fully live. So like, the integration is done and you can use it, but like only on StageNet. But the full rollout is supposed to be on the 23rd or 24th. So getting really close for like the true rollout, but the integration's done and like, you can get on there and poke around with it. It's just like, you only want to do it with a few dollars or something like that, because on StageNet, like the prices aren't necessarily accurate and the pools are super shallow, things like that. But it's just kind of like a way to test things out. But yeah, the integration's done. So.
Yo, Dan Smith, Blockworks. What's up, bro?
Hey, how's everyone doing?
How's it going?
What's up? We're good.
Good to hear. Yeah, so huge fan of Thorchain. I've been kind of following it for a while. The rollout of ThorFi really intrigues me, so I've kind of been taking a deep dive on that over the last couple months. And one thing that I just had a question about, if anyone could kind of dive into some detail on, is kind of the Thor composites, and, you know, with the ability to pair Rune with, you know, instead of the one token to Rune match, you kind of have the N number of tokens to Rune. And I was curious just kind of what the picture, the landscape of that would look like. You know, is that something that any user could go in and create a pool, say, you know, maybe one of the top 3 tokens by market cap, and you'd pair those with Rune? Could anybody do that? Or is that something that kind of gets launched on the ThorSwap or the DEX side? Or how does that look?
Yeah, so are you talking about like synthetics and like single-sided yield type opportunity?
Yeah, but specifically with like the Thor composites. So like, obviously those are done through the synthetics, but, you know, that kind of gives you the ability to pair multiple assets in a pool with Rune.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. It's a great question, but I'm not sure either I or Cal have a great answer, as like, neither of us are on the core team. And that's something that's not, as far as I know, I don't think there's like an official, I think it's still kind of up in the air as far as like how exactly the details on something like that would go. So yeah, not sure I have a great answer there.
All good. Yeah, that's kind of the exact understanding that I've kind of come to. Just, it seems like it's still in the works, but it's super intriguing. And kind of the ability to make like almost indexes seems super intriguing, and something the space doesn't really have right now.
Totally. Yeah, I think it's, you know, the perfect place to do it. Like, it'll make sense because we've got like all this cross-chain liquidity. So then you can kind of create like indexes and baskets. Like, you could have like a DeFi. I mean, it's kind of like an ETF of sorts, right? And I mean, you could make the argument like Rune does that as a whole too,
yeah,
like,
kinda.
Right? Like, because Rune, the Rune price tracks to all the liquidity, all the non-Rune liquidity in the network. So, it, like at max scale, like Rune itself is kind of like a 3x leverage all crypto market index in a way.
That's such a great way to look at it. I've never thought of the intrinsic value or deterministic value as kind of like that 3x leveraged Rune basket. That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's headed towards that direction, I think. And as more like non-Rune assets get stuffed into the pools, that just that just increases the deterministic value for Thorchain. And like, I think what Gavin said when you talked the other week, you had that big Luna space, you had Chad on, and I think Gavin was there. He mentioned like how quickly these networks like start like gaining liquidity and scaling. And I think that's definitely going to be true once, you know, we kind of get the mainnet label, and that kind of brings like a lot of mainstream media attention, and people will be looking for, like, people are rent seekers for their Bitcoin. Like, they want to be earning on their non-productive assets, especially with, you know, with Luna coming up and things like that. The more assets that go into the pools, the more backing there is for Rune. And eventually, I mean, the way I look at it, like, if you're buying Rune right now, how long is it going to take for Rune to go from deterministic value of like 90 cents, which is like where it is now, to above $5? That's a 5x in terms of like value locked in the pools. And how long does it really take to get that much liquidity into the network?
Yeah, especially as you kind of factor
rise really very quickly.
Especially as you factor in all the overall growth of those underlying tokens, right? It's like, because if you get $1 billion of Luna in the pool, and then that Luna 10x's, well, then it's still in the pool. It's still tracking the deterministic value of Rune. So it captures in so many ways. And yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think we're at the stage where it feels like the snowball is going to just start. Like, it's just starting to kind of gain some momentum down the hill. And it's like, as you get the mainnet title, as we get like some really big integrations rolling out, like then that, like the longer the network kind of goes on and becomes just like trusted as, you know, something you can rely on to be stable, then you're going to see more major wallets integrating it and more major apps integrating it. And that's just going to attract even more liquidity. And then yeah, the swaps get tighter, and then there's more fees to the liquidity providers, which attracts more liquidity. And then, yeah, there's so many like flywheel elements to like the pool depth, and then that tracking to the deterministic value. But we haven't like seen that play out yet, right? It's like we've had the artificial caps, liquidity has been pretty low. You know, we've had like limited chains, but it's kind of like Rune is, I mean, like people might not realize like Rune's been around. Like, I mean, this is a hard problem, and they've been building on this for years. Like, it's actually quite an early project, but it's just like such a big, undertaking that it's like taken years to like, you know, flesh this stuff out. And now it's at a point where like the fundamental function is kind of like it works, you know, like it's fun, like the design fundamentally works, and we just need like more chains, more liquidity, and then more integrations, more of that like invisible backend for everything. ThorFi features, there's just like so much happening.
Yeah, I'm super hyped about it, and it's like we're like a baby right now. Like, everything that's happening, like the way I look at it, is all just like macro movement that kind of just like suppresses what's actually going, like the fundamentals have never been better in terms of like how much is in the pools, and which is really the most important thing in the network, is how much underlying assets are being secured by all the Rune that you know, node operators are putting up. More, there's more nodes than ever, and there's going to be more bonded Rune and node operator bond wars than ever. Like, it's actually just kind of crazy to think about like where it's going. And if everything macro like holds up, then you know, I mean, that's why guys like you and me like Thorchain so much, because we see like the potential on how big it can grow once people actually like also the thing is, they don't even need to learn the name in order to be using the product, you know, like people will just be customers of it without even knowing and understanding that it's a more secure way to swap.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Like, you get Terra Station integrating it, and then you get Trust Wallet integrating it, and it'll just spiral.
Hey, you know, ThorSwap LPs, those are going to be paying out in the two tokens in the LP, correct? They're not necessarily paid out with like Rune emissions or like what is the incentive scheme look like for the Rune token as far as like emissions that may be a factor?
Right. So all Thorchain pools are like, ThorSwap doesn't have its own pools. It's just interfacing with the main Thorchain pools, and all of them are rewarded in the same way, which is that you're basically gaining more pool share. So part of that is some just like block rewards and stuff like that get split between node operators and LPs, but most of it is the like the swap fees that are basically being just going back into the pool. So essentially, you're just gaining your 50-50 share, right? So essentially, you'd be gaining like Rune and Luna in the Rune Luna pool. Your LP units are accruing, and then when you went to withdraw, it would just be essentially converted back to how you put it in. So if you put Luna and Rune into the pool, you'd be withdrawing in just Luna and Rune, but you can actually just do it single-sided as well. And just, you could dump Luna in, have the Luna Rune exposure. And then when you withdrew, like it would actually just be in Luna, but the whole time it was in there, it's kind of accruing based on the 50-50 split.
Yeah, Seppy, if you were to like deposit like today, like ETH Rune, like, and then you go on Thor Yields and check out like what the yield is, it'll show you earning in both Rune and ETH, like for example. So
right,
you know,
it's just like for people on Terra, it's exactly the same as how currently Terra Swap works. It's sort of a non-incentivized AMM, as opposed to, say, for example, how like an Osmosis or a Astra port work, which are incentivized by inflationary rewards, which to some extent or the other suppress the price of the underlying coin.
Yep,
whereas,
exactly.
Whereas Rune just gets its value deterministically because you have to have a certain amount of it to match with the pool that you're in. So I think the most current example of this on Terra would be like how Prism currently works, where you have everything on the protocol is swapped via Prism token. So therefore, there's going to be sort of a deterministic price effect on Prism. But then also, all of the transactions go through the Prism token. In this case, Rune is the intermediary.
Yo, what's the, I've been seeing a lot about Prism these past couple of days, I guess because it's like the first Terra coin, I guess, just shit the bed. It's sort of kind of what I'm seeing. Can you tell me more about this like project/token? What is it?
Prism basically, conceptually, it's splitting the principal and the yield portion of the token into two pieces. So if the yield portion, or Y-Luna, can be staked for the staking rewards, as well, which come in Luna and UST, as well as the airdrops in theory. And then the P-Luna side, which is the principal only, right now currently is valued less than the yield Luna token. And it doesn't have any of the yield elements to it. In theory, it gives you like a cheaper access to just the price action of the token, if that's all you cared about. And then like the fuzzy math is, well, like what's worth what and why? And there's a whole like big debate about why that might, you know, why this interesting set of primitives would have value, or why the P-Luna, for example, would have value at all, as either a purely governance or, you know, some other components. But ultimately, at the end of the day, P-Luna and Y-Luna can be recombined to Luna. So if you happen to get either one particularly cheap, then you're essentially getting like cheaper Luna, which is one of the interesting pieces of the puzzle. But in the middle of all this, it's kind of like a little dex, basically, on Prism Protocol, where, you know, you have all of the different components are paired against the Prism token for the LPs. So that allows routing between the various subcomponents of Y-Luna, P-Luna, Luna, etc. And it allows you to sort of like exchange between them very quickly. And then the value accrual goes to the staking of the Prism token, which essentially auto compounds, and the value of the token keeps rising, as opposed to you getting like more Prism tokens, for example. So that's a interesting value accrual mechanism for that token. The fact that it is the sort of like, you know, pairing token for every pair on that sort of like mini dex is, you know, makes the Prism token interesting, sort of like what makes Rune interesting. And a lot of dexes sort of work this way, but different ones have different incentivization mechanisms. Like, for example, an Astroport or an Osmosis. Astroport's on Terra. Osmosis is, well, its own dex for the Cosmos. Both of these have inflationary rewards for extended periods of time, which incentivize people to throw money into the LPs. But that can theoretically suppress the price of the underlying like DEX token, right? So that's the downside to having inflationary rewards. Whereas like, you know, some of these programs, I think Rune is one of them, it sounds like, does not have inflationary rewards, just the transactional fees accrue to the LP provider. is that pretty much what Rune is doing?
Yeah, but to be clear, there are block rewards that are paid out in Rune, and that's pretty much where the all of the network emissions comes from, like unreleased tokens. It gets paid out in block rewards. So it is inflationary in the respect that there is more Rune being put into circulation, but the purpose of that Rune is to be in the pools and to secure assets that are in it.
Mm. Like what is the inflationary mechanism that's happening there exactly?
So it's rewards that are sent out to nodes and LPs for being in the network, basically to supplement the yield for trading fees. Like basically like bootstrapping the network in terms of like giving enough yield to participants to incentivize LPing and providing assets to the network to trade.
Do those yields do the Rune emissions change depending on like what pool needs to be incentivized, or is this something fixed?
And also the node operators can actually change the value. So it's actually in the network that node operators can change the incentive curve and basically choose if all the node operators can come to a consensus, like I don't know if it's 2/3 or more than half. I think it's 2/3. They would need to all agree that, hey, we're going to increase short-term rewards for whatever reason, basically emit more to the pools to increase APYs, incentivize LPing like short-term. So the nodes can change this
But is Rune meant to be hard capped at some point, or is it something that is just variable indefinitely?
No, yeah, there's a hard cap.
500 million, I believe.
Yes. And it's like, so basically there's like a slowing emission curve, and it like, I believe every block technically, it's like the rewards are going down until eventually yes. It's like, you know, it's like a very long asymptote towards zero over whatever that timeline ends up being. But yeah, I think we're at like what, like 300 million something out of 500 million?
Yeah. So all of the Rune tokens are actually generated, and they're held in the network reserve, and that is continually topped up by fees going into the network. So basically the whole concept is like fees that come into the network then go to the reserve, and the reserve is, you know, that's what pays for like outbound transactions, gas fees, and they also pay the block rewards to node operators and to LPs. And that's basically the process that the rest of the Rune tokens get emitted. And the reserve continually tops itself up. It'll never run out of Rune at the rate that that they choose to emit it, because of the way that rewards go down every single block. So it's
asymptotic to zero emissions essentially. But then what happens? Well, I guess the presumption would be that obviously price increases along the way as well. So even though the Rune count emissions go down, like the payouts to the incentive payouts actually sort of sustain in that way, because the coin price goes up eventually.
And the pools are really the main like revenue driver, right? So like the transaction fees and like the parts of that are going towards the node operators, going to the LP, going to the reserve to like fund these various things like impermanent loss protection. So the idea is like it could definitely be self-sustaining without any emissions, and that's kind of like the long-term goal. And that's like, to me, one of the really bullish things is like these pools and rewards are actually sustainable because they're being driven by this like really crucial underlying value, like this high demand product of like connecting different L1s, and like the amount of crazy volume that could potentially go through those could generate like so much. And and the bond side is still really incentivized, because the bulk of those, at least for like the current emissions, it takes the same like 2/3, 1/3 split. So most of those emissions are going towards directly into like the growing the security side. Unless, I mean, those nodes, like in theory, like they could, you know, unbond some and sell some, but there's also this like increasing competitive landscape on the bond side where they have to continuously be bonding more and more, or they get churned out, which is one of the interesting security features that I don't know if we've chatted about yet with you, Sefi, but like there's this like churn element where like there's always nodes
on the side that are basically like ready to churn in and out as active nodes. So there's like this competitive landscape where they're constantly having to bond more and more. So a lot, I think it's a fair argument to say a lot of those emissions are just going directly into that scaling security competition, basically.
Yeah, and keep in mind that the node operators, they want the price of Rune to stay up because they have a shit ton of Rune. So it's in their interest to do whatever is in the best interest of the network, like as a general rule, because they want to maintain the price of their Rune because they have, somewhere between 300,000 and a million Rune. So they obviously don't want to deflate the, deflate the price, but inflate the amount of Rune that's being put out there too much. So they want to be able to be in the network because that's the only way they can earn rewards. If you have a huge amount of Rune, you want to be running a node for the good of the network, so that way you can earn money. If you are selling your Rune there's no reason for you to bring the price down. You want to help the network run and provide security for the network. So you want to maintain the price of it.
Yeah, if all Rune was in the network, like if there was no sort of like speculative, centralized exchange trading or whatever, node operators would be holding 2/3 of all the Rune, which is like pretty crazy.
Do you know what the distribution actually looks like of the Rune token, like generally as far as the public versus operators, et cetera, et cetera?
That's a good question. I don't know that off the top of my head. Like how much is currently in the network out of the total, but
there's a good dashboard for that. Let me pull it up quickly here.
And yeah, like ThorChain.live or something. That's a good one for like general network statistics. But the thing is, anyone can come in as a node operator. Like all you need is to have enough Rune and then you can be a node operator. So it's not like we know like, hey, these are the 100 node operators and these are like their addresses and everything. Like anyone can just gather enough and just become one yourself and earn a huge amount of money per month in Rune in rewards.
Yeah, it's about 30%. It's about 30%, and I think when Rune was about $20, and when the fundamentals were far less than now, it's kind of crazy. The nodes were bonding about a million Rune at that time because it just got very competitive, and so every single node operator, and because there were less nodes at that time. Like right now, every churn, there's two new nodes turned into the network. So the node count is constantly increasing. But back then there were only like 25 or 30 nodes maybe at that time. And each one was bonding a million Rune worth $20 each.
Yeah. And there's going to be 120 node operators very soon, like within the next, however many churns it takes to get there. Like that's how long it's going to take, probably the next couple of months. But there's going to be up to 120 node operators that like it's planned at this point is the way that it seems, which is like, and that's a crazy amount of people that are literally just stacking Rune because you need to have a competitive amount in order to get in as a node operator. If not, you're not making any money on your Rune unless you're an LP. But if you want to be a node operator, you have to not sell any of your stuff because you're going to need everything in order to get into this competitive churn.
Yeah, I mean, you could, in the future, every node operator might be a billionaire. Like, it might just be, I mean, there's going to be, like, ways of potentially, it gets into tricky, like, protection of the asset, right? Like, the whole point of these nodes is that they're bonding more than they're securing, right? So if you have, like, delegation, then it kind of breaks that model. Because then suddenly, if you're only bonding, 20% of that node's bond, well, now, like, if you're the operator and you haven't put up more capital than you're securing, now that, like, kind of breaks the whole incentive model of, like, that's kind of the inherent security model, which is why there's, like, no delegation. But there are, like, talks of potential ways of doing that, kind of, like, within semi-trusted groups up to, like, limited numbers and stuff like that. But,
So right now, Rune doesn't necessarily have a, like, staking yield direct. It's really more of a tool that a node validator would use to gain more income from sort of position.
You can't stake it directly, but you stake it with you stake it with Bitcoin or your ETH or your Luna in
Pool. I mean, that's a liquidity pool, but like essentially what the node operators are doing is staking. It's just like, there's no delegation, right? It's like in Terra, you have, I don't know, whatever, there's 120 or something like that. And, you know, each one has, like, you can stake, you know, you can stake 10 Luna to whatever one that you want to. Whereas in Thorchain, it's like, no, if you will, like, you have to run the whole thing basically, because otherwise, like, you're, otherwise the security model isn't right, because the nodes are securing, the nodes have to bond more than they're securing.
Hmm. Yeah. It's like a lot of details to go into, I guess, just researching everything.
Yeah. It's essentially
you can like do a lot of research on Thorchain before you really like understand the technical, and it has to be this way because it secures, like, these are basically what Thorchain is basically a series of vaults that secure like a Bitcoin, like a multi-sig Bitcoin wallet, right? Like, and that's the purpose of all this stuff. And this is just the way it needs to be in order to have a native chain that you can trade in and out of, rather than doing it some kind of wrapped way. Because you need to have an actual Bitcoin wallet that will then send a transaction out somewhere. So this is just kind of the approach that you know, needs to be taken when you're doing this in order to secure the assets properly.
Exactly. Yeah. It's essentially like, oh, I'm a node. I'll put up $10 million of bond, and then I'll basically have the rights over, let's say, half of that in like Bitcoin vaults and Ethereum vaults. And basically as the node operator, I'm controlling that. I have my bond. Like it's essentially a proof of bond network, right? It's like proof of stake. It's just like there's no delegation, and so like each node operator is bonding double the vaults that they are personally in control of. So, you know, it's kind of like I can steal $5 million, but I'll lose $10 million. That's essentially what keeps it secure. And as far as we've seen, and like, you know, listening to the big brains that build this thing, like, don't know of any other way to really pull it off. Without trust assumptions, without wrapping, without you know, various things like that. So,
but is that, I guess, is that capital efficient for the bonder? Like, so you're parking a whole lot of money in with the expectation of some return. Is it like truly worth it to them to park that kind of money there? I'm
definitely
assuming it is, but
yeah, I mean, so that's about a 30% APY right now. So I mean, if you can run a node off. If you can run your own node, I mean, you can basically retire on that, like even at current prices, which are pretty suppressed. And then you imagine it going back even just to its previous all-time high, it's at like, you know, 20% of that, which is just insane. and then you kind of like extrapolate out like what that could be worth. And I mean, what's 30% annually of roughly like 1.2 million? So they're making somewhere around like $30,000 a month, even at current prices, at least, I think. And
and they're incentivized to hold it all in Rune, because otherwise they're not going to be able to make that money anymore. If you know what I mean? If they start dumping their Rune, then they're not going to be able to gain any money at all, because they won't be able to participate.
Yeah, and there's an incentive pendulum that ensures that there's enough incentive on the bond side to keep the overall security going and growing, so that there can be more liquidity. So like, for example, if the network is getting into an underbonded state where it would be like approaching like a security problem, because now the nodes are not bonding way more than they're securing, then this pendulum of like the two-thirds, one-third reward can shift like a lot in either direction. So if it was necessary, like all of the LP rewards could be funneled to the bond side, which then incentivizes all of the node operators to bond more. It incentivizes like big LPers to run a node if they can, and vice versa. If you have like, you know, if you had $1 billion of node bond, but only like, you know, 1% of that in the liquidity pools, then the same thing goes the other way. The incentive pendulum shifts, and a lot of that two-thirds of the node operator starts shifting towards the LPers, and then a lot of nodes would dump into the LPs. So this incentive pendulum is kind of like what keeps it in check and ensures that like the, I think it's most important, like you said, on like incentivizing the bond side. I don't see the other angle being as much of a problem, but yeah, it's like the thing that will keep the bond side growing is that the incentive pendulum that's like built in is essentially what keeps that in check, just programmed into it, right?
I've got to head out, guys. Sorry, but have fun, and we'll catch up another time.
Yeah, yeah, great info. Appreciate it.
Yeah, great info. Thanks.
See ya.
Yeah, if anyone wants to hop on, this is Multi-Chain Live. This is just me and Chad Thoreau. We just talk about, we won't probably talk about Thorchain, but we'll talk about anything on here. If anyone wants to, like, just raise their hand and, you know, we could talk about any kind of project. You know, I'm down for anything. So.
Yeah, if people have questions of any level, whether you're, even if you're brand new to Thorchain, just some basics, we can get in the weeds, like really anything. Go into these with very little agenda, just to kind of hang out.
Do you guys know of any other protocols that are kind of doing something similar to Thorchain, but in that completely decentralized native asset to native asset swap? I saw something from Deep Ridge that they're, making another bridge that's going to involve wrapped assets, it looks like. But I've yet to be able to find any functional protocols that seem to be doing the same thing when, you know, you're swapping native asset for native asset in a non-custodial way.
I've never been able to find, there is not a currently functional one that can do what Thorchain does in native asset to native asset. And that includes Bitcoin is what I'm saying. There is other networks that are, you know, trying to get started, but they don't have working testnet. The only one that I've seen is Flipside Crypto is doing, it's basically Thorchain model, but they use a, so in the liquidity pools, they use stable coins paired with all the coins in the network. But Chad Barryford's pointed out in the past that that will just lead to massive and permanent loss across assets because everything's paired with a stable coin rather than a crypto native token that'll kind of move with the market and provide less impermanent loss. I haven't seen one that does native asset to native asset that includes native Bitcoin that is run on in a decentralized way. It just doesn't exist, which is why we're psyched about this stuff because we know this is something that's pretty special here.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. Like I haven't really seen any legitimate real competitor at the current level. I mean, there's going to be like forks of Thorchain. I mean, I could almost see us going into like a crazy fork season if things really start to go crazy, where people are trying to like use the same model to like cover other areas, which is cool. And Thorchain actually like supports these projects that are doing it. Like there's Maya Protocol, which is it's a fork, yeah, and I think they're doing one called like Black as well. I forget if that was the same team or a different team, but you know, neither one is live, and they're going to have to bootstrap the bond side from zero. But you know, I'm like, I think all of us were like, yeah. Look, if there's a real competitor, like I want to know about it. I want to invest in it. You know, like I welcome it. I just haven't seen it. I know a lot of people are. Like a lot of people in ZeroX Ventures and stuff are really excited about Composable. So I'm trying to pay attention there. To be honest, I still like don't understand how it really works, like how it kind of would solve like the security, kind of like what we were just talking about, just like having the incentives be what secures it. I don't understand how it works in their context. And I also know that they're at least not anytime soon, like dealing with like big UTXO chains, like Bitcoin and stuff. So that immediately makes it kind of different. It's more like, oh, can we connect like EVM to IBC? Can we connect IBC to Polkadot? Which is cool. And like that might end up being like a huge portion of all of crypto for sure. But I haven't seen anything that can really pull it off in the Thorchain way, which is that it really doesn't care like what chain or how it works or anything. Like it can potentially plug in anything, just because in a way it's like very complex, but in a way it's very simple too, right? Like it's like Cal was saying, it's like there's just like Thorchain itself is observing wallets on other blockchains and like, you know, basically just like controlling inbound and outbound vaults, like, which is kind of simple in concept, right? But it's like then you're just using economic incentives to actually make that work, which is pretty elegant.
Yeah, Dan, what are you into? Like what other projects do you like or what's been the catch in your eye lately?
Fair enough. Yeah. So obviously the L1 wars have been hot and it's been very hard not to pay attention to that. So after, you know, diving into a couple of those, you know, like most, I started with Ethereum, then kind of went down the Terra rabbit hole. And it's funny, like the more I keep reading and researching on L1s, it's like, okay, this is a really great use case. And then you look at the next one and say, okay, I'm trailing here as well. And then, you know, that's when things kind of hit me that, you know, the multi-chain world is clearly inevitable. And okay, so what services and products are going to, you know, service that industry, which is how I ultimately found ThorChain. And just to that earlier point, you know, it has no competitors, which makes it such a unique value prop at the current state. And yeah, Chad, as you were mentioning, I'm always looking for the next one because, you know, ThorChain's already got a decent sized market cap. Of course, the ceiling's much larger, much higher. But, you know, I would love to get it on the ground floor one of these.
Right. So it's not exactly like low key that, you know, well, it's not a secret what's been going on right here. Although if you ask around, it seems like a pretty good kept secret. But people definitely know about it.
I think that touches on a great point, though, like kind of relating ThorChain to the L1 like wars is like a lot of these L1s. It's like if they don't have the crazy tokenomic design, then it's like inherently just a bit less interesting to me as an investment. Right. It's like I think I'm bullish on a lot of L1s, but if it doesn't have like the crazy value capture that Luna has, it's like, should I like do I buy Solana? Like, maybe not. Like I think Solana could be something, and I think there's a lot of cool stuff being built on it and a lot of smart people, but doesn't have the capture, right? And then like that's what I wonder about something like Composable. Even it's like, okay, if they can solve this problem for certain ecosystems, and maybe that's really important, but ThorChain's way of solving it also makes it more interesting as an investment, which is also like a huge marketing strategy, right? It's like the reason why UST is growing like crazy is because like Luna has this amazing tokenomic design that makes freaking everybody want to talk about it. And Rune has that too. And I think it's like easy to kind of underestimate that, but like having exciting tokenomics is the, like the best marketing strategy in the world, because now suddenly you have every user, you know, being an owner and like being able to gain off of this. So yeah, it kind of relates.
Yeah. Do you think with the introduction of the Terra chain going live in, you know, the next 1 to 2 weeks, do you think UST will overtake the BUSD as the deepest stablecoin pool?
I think so. Like just in my personal opinion, but I think that's just because there are so many people that are on like the Terra ecosystem that want to that are like interested in DeFi and like really want to earn like a yield and like try something that's new, and they see the value of like ThorChain as a whole. While it's like the people who are putting BUSD in, it's not like there's some kind of like coordinated Binance community that's just like, oh yeah, this is like where we want to like park our BUSD. It's just people that are, you know, probably ThorChain like enthusiasts, people who've been around for a while that are then like, you know, searching for a yield on their stable coins. But I think that I think there's going to be huge demand for UST, which is going to push APYs really high, probably just as high as BUSD, which is going to push a lot of capital in there. So yeah,
right. Yeah, I totally agree, because you know if you look at a swap from Rune to BUSD, it's what 20-25 cents, and if you're moving from Rune to USDC, you got to battle those ETH fees. It's like over $100. So you know I think that's what attracts everyone to BUSD is just the cheap fees and the speed of the transaction as well. But putting, you know, Terra's speed and cheap transactions in there, as well as a fully decentralized token or a stablecoin, I think that really changes everyone's perspective. And, you know, that kind of gives you an alternative to BUSD, which is a much more centralized entity. And, you know, from my understanding of the ThorChain community, you know, decentralization is a very high on the priority list.
Exactly. Yeah, I really see no way how it doesn't end up being the most popular. Like, it just feels so obvious to me. I mean, who gives a shit about Binance chain, really? Like, we're all just kind of using
it. Yeah, we use it because it's cheap.
Yeah, we use it right now. Like right now. Right? Yeah, like right now, like you said, it's just like it's the cheap, fast option. It's like kind of your best bet for right now. Like if I want to buy some Rune, like I'm probably gonna buy like some BNB and then swap that to Rune. But if I can just get some UST and do that, like, you know, I'll probably never touch Binance chain again after 7 days from now. You know, it's like, why, right. Like, why would I?
did Pluto say that it was actually going to be released in 7 days, or are we just, is that just when the month ends? Sorry.
Yeah. All like, I don't know, like, you know, like, we can say it here, I guess, because it's like a small group or whatever. But like, yeah, they're definitely saying the 23rd or 24th is the goal right now. Maybe like don't tweet that out and stuff. I don't know if that's supposed to be like out, but like that's what they're shooting for right now, is the 23rd or 24th. So if all goes to plan, and like, you know, obviously, like, my personal opinion is like shit, if they need time, like take your time, you know, like, I don't think anything should be,
yeah, exactly,
should like, be over rushed. But
need is some kind of security issue or something like that happens, like,
exactly, you know, yeah, so, kind of big hit, you know, if they come out and say, oh, it's gonna be March 7th, you know, like, let's just all be supportive. But I know as of right now, there, that's still the plan. The plan is that it's on track, and doesn't seem like anything major has come up, so that's still the plan as of right now, as far as I've heard.
Sweet. Yeah, that's really good news. And yeah. The other thing I want to say is that just the design of Thorchain and the way that it handles stablecoins on the network will protect the UST peg as well, and will just give it more relevance in like the entire crypto economy. So like, let me just say the one thing about the design of Thorchain that I've talked about this before, like, but you know, there's always like different people that are on. So the deepest stablecoin pool. So there's no way for the network to know how much the price of Rune is, unless you somehow peg it to a stablecoin that's on the network. So by default, the deepest stablecoin pool on the network will be $1. So that way, everything else on the network will get its prices based on the different ratios of the pools, right? So that's what gives Rune its price on, like, its US dollar price on the network, is how much of the deepest stablecoin there is. If UST is the deepest stablecoin on the network, UST will always be $1 on Thorchain. Like, it will... Rune's price will fluctuate, but but UST will always be $1. So that actually, if it is the deepest stablecoin pool on the network, that to me, that's like huge for UST, and it's that's a huge mechanism right there to protect the peg of UST.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way of thinking about it, and I think it's spot on. And on top of that, like, you also have, because you have other stable coins on Thorchain, like, you could definitely make the argument that every stable coin on Thorchain would also be protecting the UST peg, right? Because otherwise there's like an instant arbitrage available, it's just more pressure on the UST peg from all sides. And to add on that a little bit is, like, again, yeah, just because people can always be popping in here if they're new or anything, but like, the hyper bull case for like Thorchain as a network is that because this is just real, you know, free liquidity pools and just free market incentives. There's no oracles, there's no price setting, like, they're set by the pools. So the crazy bull case is that, like, essentially the price of UST or even the price of Bitcoin is being set by the Thorchain pool. It's like, if there's so much depth in there, then that equalization of the pool is what sets the price of those assets. Like, they're not, like, you know, using Chainlink to like pull the data from Binance or something like that. Like, it's just like, this is what the pools are setting the price at. And that's why you sometimes get arbitrages as well. But that, at the same time, like, it all incentivizes everyone, because the arbitragers are actually like one of the key, like, customers, if you will, of Thorchain, because as they are arbing, the pools are profiting off of that. The node operators are profiting off of that. So it's like, you're using, like, the arbitragers are like not taking advantage of the system, they're actually strengthening it.
Yeah, Dan, that actually reminded me that I did see that Chainlink is working on some kind of cross-chain interoperability project, but there's also no testnet, no nothing, as far as I know. I've seen the, maybe not a white paper, but it's like some kind of explanation document that's, yeah, I guess you would call it some kind of white paper or something like that, but they have some kind of project that they're working on, but there's no like working prototype as far as I know.
Right. I think that might be called the bridge, like DE bridge. I just stumbled across this earlier today. So I don't, full disclosure, I don't know much of anything about it, but I know it came out of a Chainlink hackathon in 21. And I just took a brief look at their white paper and saw that they were using wrapped assets essentially is what it appeared to me. I need to do some way more research on this before I really give a full opinion on it. But initial reaction was it looked like it was wrapped assets.
Interesting.
Also, it's very easy to say like, oh yeah, we're gonna be doing this, and this, but no one's put out a product that you can use right now and swap Bitcoin, native unwrapped Bitcoin for native unwrapped Ethereum single transaction. There's no network right now that you could be doing this on.
I feel like alone is like worth like a $10 billion market cap and just is like completely underappreciated. It's like you can decentralize swap the two, even three, like most large assets in all of crypto, like on a DEX. It's like, how is this not just like the biggest news like ever?
I mean, to me, yeah. It's partial ownership. Like the reason why I buy Chill and hold Brune is because to me, it's partial ownership in like in Coinbase, but Coinbase in like 2013, 2012 or something like that. You know what I mean? Where there's just like it's so small right now, but the it has such a first mover advantage that it's pretty hard to ignore. And like I'm definitely going to look into this, although knowing Chainlink, there will be no token involved. So I am looking forward to seeing what it is that they're putting out, and because obviously like the more competition there is out here, that like that's good. But I'm. Unless you see a working product, how can you say that, you know, anything's going to be good at all?
Agreed. Yeah. I haven't seen D-Bridge or whatever that was that you mentioned, but I know like Chainlink's own product it's going to be called like CCIP. I'm not sure if that's the same or something else, but as far as I know, it's its own thing.
I think that was what it was called.
Yeah. That's their own like internal one. I'm trying to give it a glance as I talk, but yeah, you know, I like you said, Cal, it's like, sounds great, but like, you know, like there's a lot of talk all the time, and like, yeah, I mean, if they ship something cool, then like let's see it, and again, yeah, let's see if there's value accrual, because I think that's like such a key component, right? It's like, you know, Thorchain gives revenue streams to everyone that integrates it gives revenue streams to everyone that like makes it possible, but yeah, ultimately it's like, at the same time, like, you know, I do think like, I think it's crunch time with Thorchain, you know, like I think this year is like so important, right? Like last year, like we all kind of got a little ahead of ourselves and thought what was going to play out this year was going to play out last year at some points. But now it's kind of like, okay, everything's coming into place. Like, let's just keep everything going. And clearly Thorchain has the lead like by a mile, but I don't know if that would still be the case like in another year if things were to like, you know, get stalled for whatever reason. Like, I mean, it's such a big problem to solve. Like, clearly there's going to be more competitors. It's kind of wild to think that there's not more competitors, right? It's like, even if you look at something really successful like Luna and UST, like you see like the burn to mint, and now there's probably like 20 at least like burn to mint stable coins that are coming out. Or you look at like Ohm, and Ohm had like this successful new idea, and then there were like 500 forks of it. It's kind of surprising to think, like, you know, like we struggle to even come up with a direct competitor of Thorchain, like, and we're kind of in this stuff all day, and it's like, yeah, who is like the most direct competitor? It's centralized exchanges.
It's too hard to coordinate this network, never mind like getting another network. Be like, hey, we just forked this other network that's difficult to like, it takes a lot to understand the whole value proposition of like what's going on here. Like it honestly takes a lot. And you know how much harder that would be to be like, hey, we're forking this really, really, really complicated thing, but we're doing it slightly better in this way. It's very hard to communicate that in a way that's just like, hey, this is why we're doing it better. Especially if you're just doing like a fork, like you need to be doing a completely different model.
And
but a different model is like, you know, could be more centralized. Like if Chainlink is running like servers or something like that, that's controlled by Chainlink, however they do that, you know.
Yeah, I think that was something I heard about theirs is like, you know, probably, I don't know, like they run the nodes or some shit, like not too sure. Don't mean to throw them under the bus or whatever, but yeah, it just doesn't even seem like any of these competitors are like trying to do the same like truly decentralized thing. And if there's a fork, then they're starting at like ground zero. I mean, like look at like how we're talking about like Thorchain already having hundreds of millions of dollars. And we're talking about like, oh, can the bond scale? Like, is this going to be a problem? Like imagine solving that problem from, oh, we have zero nodes and we can secure zero cross chain assets. Yeah, like it's really hard to bootstrap.
Was like 0.1, but you know, that's why Rune was so low in 2019. Cause you need to start this network from essentially nothing. They didn't have Bitcoin back then either. It was just BNB chain, you know? But you need to get liquidity and you need to get bond in there. And that's extremely, extremely hard to do with, and that's needed in order to make this a decentralized network. You could do Thorchain as a centralized network and you could just do all these systems in your back end. You could have the accounting woman with the multi-sig wallet, you know, you guys could multi-sign out Bitcoin transactions at every, at 2 o'clock every day. That could work.
But, yeah, it's basically a centralized exchange, right? I mean, yeah. that's why Binance solved this problem 5 years ago, and that's why it's still a hard problem to do in terms of decentralization.
I think one other thing that's important to remember with Thorchain is, you know, it's something that Chad Barefoot said a couple times on different various podcasts, but, you know, solving this problem is very hard. Like I remember he was talking to one of the leading devs on a top DEX on Ethereum, and he asked him, you know, why aren't you trying to integrate Bitcoin? And his answer was, well, because that's really hard. And so I think the first mover advantage here really plays a massive role in Thorchain's success. You know, it is probably going to be a fork that would be causing some early competition for Thorchain. And, you know, even with those, we still haven't seen that occur yet. So, Chad, as you mentioned, I think this is the big year for Thorchain. When mainnet goes live, the beta label comes off and it's, you know, it's time to focus on scaling.
Yeah, I do want to think a little bit about, as a community, what we should be doing when mainnet comes along to, like, I mean, I'm sure you and me are going to keep doing these kinds of spaces and just like education and just like stuff about the network, because it actually is like so complicated. And unless you've read all the papers and things like that from like the rebase economics paper and things like that, there's like so much to understand. It took me weeks to understand it. But once you do, you're just absolutely just rune pilled and based forever. So it's kind of what happens with this network, and it's pretty incredible design. You kind of get sucked in by how cool the incentives all line up.
Yeah, it's such a complicated one. I mean, I still find myself revisiting everything like once a week just to be like, wait, do I understand this entirely? And there's all, I definitely don't. Like, there's still gaps in my knowledge for sure, because it's just like, to really truly understand it, it's just far more complex. And, you know, I think like the thing that kind of spreads it to people is kind of like, you know, like almost like memeing something down into like a one liner, not like a joke meme, but like a slogan, like a line. Like with Luna and UST, it's like very simple to like convey that message. Like, it spreads very quickly. You know, it's like UST is minted, Luna is burned. Like, people immediately get that. Like, I've had like normie friends that are like talking about Luna now, because it's like that meme kind of like spreads itself. Whereas with like Thorchain has 3x TVL, which is like, you know, very, very, very powerful, but it's like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, it's a lot more complicated to like explain that to somebody from ground zero. You know, it's like, if you're trying to explain it to your normie friend, you're like, well, first let me explain Bitcoin, and then let me explain Ethereum, and then maybe I can try to explain Rune like in 2 hours from now, I'll like try to make you understand what the hell I'm so excited about. But it's like so many, UST is very understandable. It's like, oh, we're making a decentralized version of the dollar, and you can basically bet on the growth of this by buying Luna. It's just like so simple. So this is something I've been thinking about a lot, is like, and what I'm trying to do, like, honestly, with my Twitter account, or with everything we're kind of doing with spaces and with like tutorials and stuff like that, it's like, how do you try to like digest this really complex stuff and like simplify it into like, you know, like single sentences, like stuff that people can repeat, and like stuff that people will remember, and like, you know, allows you to like understand a really complex topic in a matter of a few words. I think the more like we as a community can kind of like figure out what those concise messages are, the more it'll be easy to digest by new people.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm gonna start shitposting about Rune, you know, pretty much daily. So I think that'll be a good substitute for that. Even I was thinking about making one of those iceberg memes about Thorchain, but I haven't gotten around to it yet. Got a bunch of those meme ideas floating around here.
Yeah, more memes. Another thing that I've been thinking related to that is I kind of learned this in something a previous business I was doing is like whenever you're like kind of talking about stuff, like even when we do these spaces, it's like you kind of feel like after you've said something a couple times, you kind of feel like you're like repeating it. But the reality is that like there's new people here like every day. Like there's probably somebody listening to this space right now that like hardly even understands like what Thorchain can do. So I think like it's something for all of us to keep in mind is to like, you know, not feel like we're repeating ourselves by like explaining the basics again and again and again. Like you kind of have to, we kind of like somebody has to be putting this stuff out there, or else if we're only talking about like, you know, the super complex in the weed stuff that took us 6 months to understand, then you're constantly going to be leaving behind like the newcomers that are hearing about it the first time. It's like what can Thorchain do? Like, why is this important to me? Like, why would I care if I'm hearing about Thorchain for the first time? Like what the hell is the value to me? And like, what is the problem they're solving? And just explaining these like fundamental things, like how does the liquidity pool work? What is 3xTVL? Like, how do I buy Rune on ThorSwap? Like, just really basic stuff. I just think we need to like keep kind of cranking that stuff out for new people, you know?
What's up, Wallcoin Asian?
Hey, how's it going, everyone? And, you know, Chad's bringing up a really good point here. Like, you know, let's say someone is new on here and they have no idea what we're talking about in Thorchain. You know, I just joined as one of the LPU admin mods. So look, if anyone is looking to learn about Thorchain and what we're building and how all this stuff works, any question is welcome in the LPU Discord. So if you guys want to shout us out and give us a shot, we'd be happy to answer any of your questions, and any of the mods would help you out. There are no dumb questions in the Discord. Again, like when I started in the Thorchain ecosystem, it took me like almost an entire month just to read all the docs, and even then I still didn't understand everything. So
yeah, great point. Like there are these resources, and we just need to like remind people of where to go. LPU is definitely a great one. There's ThorSwap Discord too, you know, if you have any trouble like with actually doing something and using it. But yeah,
LPU is the best education group, you know. That's where like you can actually just like ask dumb questions and not be ignored. Like ThorSwap Discord is good for like opening a ticket if you need actual technical support, like, you know, there's like an error on screen or something like that. But like for like strategy and like information about like how to use liquidity pools, how to enter, what risks are involved, what you need to be like actually thinking about, like impermanent loss and things like that, you go to LPU for that. Those guys are the goats.
Yeah, 100%.
Did you guys check out the broker Twitter space or the first Twitter space this morning?
Nah, I missed it. What was interesting on there?
Oh yeah, so they were talking about like when they're launching their IDO. It's I believe going to be sometime in March, and they're just talking about all like what they're offering. If you've read the most recent Broker Medium article, basically tells you exactly what they're offering. Really simple. Basically, it's just going to be like, let's say you have a bunch of assets, let's say Rune or Luna or whatever you have. You can literally just click a button. There's going to be three options. It'd be like stable, so like lower APY, medium risk, and then like high risk, and it has all different APYs, and you just sign one transaction and it's done, right? That's all you have to do to start earning APY. You don't have to go through all these different protocols, sign all these transactions, do all these approvals. It just simplifies the entire process. It's literally just a one click, one transaction, you're done.
Nice. That's definitely where we all need to head. So in that example, like, would the low risk be like a vaulted synth, and then like a high risk be like an LP, like, I guess I don't know what all the tiers would be, but I assume it's like something from single sided to like multi exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. For the least risky one, they were saying it's like Anchor with insurance. I don't really know. They didn't really go in depth with like the medium and the high risk strategies, but all of those strategies are going to be transparent, and it's all going to be on the blockchain as well. So you're going to be able to see like how they're deploying that and how they're getting their return.
Yeah, I personally, I'm gonna, we'll see how it goes. I like me, I just want Rune right now because I think that's the best risk reward in the space right now, especially when like coming to all these other like projects and things like that, you really need to be thinking about like adoption and how many people are going to be using it. And like for me, I see that obviously the hugest potential is like, you know, just Thorchain itself, which is why I'm like, I'm kind of tight on just like having just trying to stack as much Rune as I can, because that's what I want personally. But I definitely want to see like what it is that they're building. And I also like their team is like super cool. I've talked to them before, and those guys are the guys who rolled out Synth, so I know that they whatever they're building is going to be technically fantastic.
Totally. Yeah. There's like a difference between, you know, products that help the whole ecosystem and necessarily if you want to invest in their token or not, but it's still great to see like, you know, more functionality and more use cases and stuff like that. But I do agree with you. It's like, it can be easy to like chase too many ecosystem projects in terms of investments. And I've been burned there over time, you know, in various ways. So I'm with you. And I think that also brings up an interesting point, which is like, my head is always going to the same place, but it's like, you know, the Rune on Rune yield is really going to be like that's really what we want, right? Like probably of us on the speaker panel right here, it's like what we really wish we could do is like essentially earn Rune on Rune like only, right? Like that's probably the reason why we're not fully in liquidity pools and stuff like that, because we want the Rune exposure and we want to earn Rune on Rune. So, you know, any of these ideas like in the future, like the light nodes or like potentially like the sort of matchmaking thing where you're like somebody is taking each side, like those things are just like really exciting to me.
Oh yeah, Broker could do that, that'd be actually fire. I love that.
Yeah, somebody's going to do it for sure.
Yeah, and something else that came out of the space was, you know, they're launching on the Terra blockchain, and they're going to be integrating and like creating some sort of way to automate the process to onboard more chains. So like, for example, I don't know, Solana, for example, you'd be able to integrate with the chain and so you could deploy a strategy for Solana and all these other chains. So it really just depends on which assets you have and which assets you want to like actually earn yield on, whether that be Rune or whatever you want, right?
That's really interesting. I wonder what market they're like targeting. Like, are they like in the past, a lot of like Thorchain ecosystem projects have like been for like people in the Thorchain ecosystem, but I wonder if they're instead like basically doing it externally and going like, hey, if this is a Thorchain product that they're offering to like the you know, for example, like the Luna community or something like that. Is that kind of what they're doing?
Yeah, effectively. They're just basically targeting the normies that don't really have like the advanced experience in order to like stake exact places and use all these complex protocols across different blockchains, right? Yeah, I highly would recommend reading the most recent Medium article from them. There's a lot of good information on there. Yeah.
Nice, I'll check that out. Yeah, it's wild just how like we're gonna see like competition in that space, right? Like we're gonna see so many different products like going after different people, and all of that like accrues to Rune on the back end, and all of that grows liquidity pools and brings in new people. And like there's so many teams like making these claims about like how they're bringing in different groups and stuff like that. It's just going to be like, it's going to become like competitive in a good way, right? It's like we're just going to, it feels to me like we're going to see this massive expansion of just like I feel like in 6 months we're like, even us who are like in this, like we're not even going to know all the projects that are working on it.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of already happening.
That's kind of where things are going, you know.
Yeah, it's like Terra, like pools. I think Terra is a great example, because like I remember when I first got into Terra, it was like, oh, like you can use Anchor and Mirror, and now it's like, dude, I know like 5% of what's happening in the Terra ecosystem at this point. Like it's Same. Just so crazy. It's gotten so crazy. And I feel like, well, there's no reason why like this won't be anywhere. Like this could even be more crazy, because you're talking about like every chain and all liquidity. Like we're going to see so many crazy things built on top of it. Like that Prism talk earlier, it's like, I'm sure some big brains will come up with some ways of building stuff like that with multi-chain, and it's wild.
Yeah, I don't understand how the, like, I know Prism just launched recently, and I don't really know what's, I know you can refract Luna, but I don't really know how that works. But yeah, it's really interesting to see like all these different wallets, like Liquality, recently integrating with ThorChain, and then, you know, there's like Broker and DeFi Spot. There's just so many DEXs and potential DEXs like SushiSwap through like the aggregator that are potential, right? So like all these users could potentially be using this DEX and have no idea that they're using ThorChain, but we know, right? Because we see the swaps coming through the liquidity pools, right?
Yeah.
That's exciting. I think that's going to be like the snowball, you know, like once some big ones start doing it, like their competition is going to have to do it, right? It's like, if SushiSwap integrates it, but Uniswap doesn't, then they're at a huge disadvantage, right? I think we're going to see stuff like that. Or if Trust Wallet does it, then every other like mobile wallet is going to be like, oh, look at what Trust Wallet is doing. They're making all this money on swaps. They're having such a massive, larger customer base because they're including all chains. Like, I guess we should do that too. I am really curious. I feel like the Trust Wallet one is going to be so big whenever that happens, because I feel like that will be, I mean, they're like the most popular mobile wallet. And I, as far as I know, like they have it built. It's just, I think they're just kind of waiting to roll it out, I think was the last I heard. Like probably just kind of waiting for like, you know, consistency and things like that.
Yeah, that's what I heard last. I just saw the GitHub request that people were working on it, but I haven't really heard much since then.
Yeah, it's been quiet, right? What else are you guys excited
should
about?
Do you think we should get the Liquality wallet people on next week? We could host them next week. I can try and get them on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That would be so cool. We can ask them a couple of questions and just kind of ask like what they're trying to achieve with their wallet that maybe is different from XDeFi or Trust Wallet or whatever other wallets. To be honest, I don't really know that much about Liquality. I need to do a little more research, but I'd love to participate in this space.
They kind of came out of left field. It was just like, oh, they integrated ThorChain. But it was like, oh, wait, I didn't even know that there was this multi-chain wallet that was there. So like that's pretty cool.
Same. Yeah, it caught me off guard. I think I had like stumbled on them like maybe a month or two back, and they were doing atomic swaps. And I was like, it's like XDeFi, but atomic swaps. And then suddenly I saw that announcement. I was like, whoa, that's cool. But yeah, I haven't given them much attention, but it's cool to see like another, I guess you'd say like XDeFi competitor. And I know there's other stuff coming out in that space too. So I think that's going to become, you know, like it's just going to become the default. Why would you use like who wants to have like 10 different apps and 10 different extensions when you could just have like your multi-chain wallet and connect to any app on the planet? Like it just kind of, it's hard for me to like imagine it going any other way. And like, you know, I always bring up like Phantom Wallet when I'm thinking about this, because I think Phantom on Solana is the number one best wallet experience by like a mile. But it's like, if you can only use it on Solana, well then like the amount of friction to have like all these different wallets to do all these different things you want to do, it's just like too high. Like as much as Phantom is an incredible product, it's like, you know, the XDeFi's and the qualities and all these other ones that are going to come out, it just kind of seems like the obvious way it's going to go.
Yeah, the XDeFi. I don't have any ecosystem tokens. I do have XDeFi. I do love XDeFi because they're a dope wallet, and it just works right on top of MetaMask, which is like pretty sick. So I even minted some NFTs with the 8 mode thing, and that was pretty good.
They deliver so fast. It's unbelievable. Like they're about to release their staking for XDeFi. There's a slight delay, but like they're just delivering so fast. I swear, like every 2 days I just see Emil just post some sort of crazy update that they're integrating some sort of feature. I'm like, what the hell? Like you just
they've released like 30 and 40 people on their team. Their team is massive. These guys,
I didn't know that.
That's why
they're strong team.
Yeah, that's why I have, but I mean, that's why I believe in these people, because there's actually like they have probably around 40 people working the XDeFi team. I believe
Something like that.
Big venture.
No, they're legit. Yeah, as far as like I'm with you. I only have a few ecosystem projects too, but yeah, XDeFi for sure is definitely one to pay attention to. I mean, especially like, I mean, it's just so much more functionality than like a MetaMask, and they actually have a token. Like, I think the market cap is like under 30 million, I think, for XDeFi, and it's like,
yeah, it's quite small,
dude. Like these wallets are going to become the most popular wallets, like one way or another. Like whether it's XDeFi or whoever's the next one to compete with XDeFi. Like one of these wallets is going to beat MetaMask, like just
by far. I mean, MetaMask, you can only do Ethereum. Like, even Phantom is great. Like, I was plugging them a second ago. They don't have a token. They only have Solana. I think they're talking about doing Ethereum, but you know, these wallets like XDeFi and other multi-chain wallets are like built from the ground up to be able to be ready for like the multi-chain world. And it just feels like kind of similar to what you were saying with ThorChain earlier, is like these other ones just aren't going to catch up. Like, I had Emil on a space yesterday, and like, he's just saying like, yeah, like, I don't, he doesn't seem worried about like MetaMask or something like that. He's like, yeah, I mean, they'd have to like rebuild their entire thing from the ground up basically to like, you know, they'd be basically starting from scratch to like build out entirely new infrastructure to like support multi-chain. And plus, dude, like they're already behind just in terms of Ethereum. Like, you still can't even like view an NFT in MetaMask, right? Like, I haven't used it in a while, but as far as I know, like you basically can't do anything in MetaMask except like sign transactions, and like I guess you can swap now, but even that wasn't until a few months ago or something.
Yeah, so I've said this a couple like on a couple of our spaces, but MetaMask has done, I believe they did $200 million in revenue from just swaps on the app in 2021. So that's over $200 million, and that's in just the couple percent they take off of the in-app swaps that they do, and that's literally just for Ethereum, which is just like, oh my, like, it's actually just an insane market that you know what I mean, because it, like, you could just be using ThorChain for that, and you just plug that into, you know, whatever wallet you got, and all, even if you're only doing like, you know, 1% of that, that's still you know, tens of thousands of dollars per year just for integrating it on your app.
And that's so much more potential swaps, because now you're coming from any chain and not just Ethereum. Yeah. So it's huge. I do know their fee is like, I think it's like 0.85 or somewhere in that range for swaps, 0.85%, which is like kind of high. I think that's going to seem high over time, like as there's more kind of competition and stuff. Like, I don't know. Does anyone know XDeFi's fee?
Do they have that implemented already? Actually, I don't. Normally, it's around 1%, I feel, but that's just a total guess.
Yeah, I think they're going to be lower. I'm sure it's going to be probably like half a percent or maybe even less, something like that. It would be my guess. But that's also a good point. I don't even know if they have the fees turned on yet. I for example, like ThorSwap, like, still doesn't even have a fee turned on. But like, you know, both of those are kind of going to be like, that's how you're going to incentivize like holders of like something like XDeFi or Thor is, or even like a MetaMask token potentially. I would assume, like, you know, some of that fee goes back to the token and all of that.
So on their Discord, I just looked it up. MetaMask is 0.875, and I don't know if it's turned on yet, but Sygus Nord said that it would be something like 0.25% for intra Ethereum swaps. So,
oh wow,
yeah, so about a third of it.
Yeah, I mean, MetaMask is just kind of like the first mover, like big dumb old guy that's gonna be like, I feel like if MetaMask could do nothing and like still probably have a user base for the next like 5 years, just because of like, kind of, it's kind of like hit that like word of mouth potential, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, like there's always like bad products that are really, not just in crypto, just in like anything, right? Like there's always like the bad popular product that just like gets a bunch of exposure because it like reached word of mouth. And yeah, I feel like they'll just like kind of have this slow like loss of market share over time.
So I'd heard of MetaMask like way back in the day, and I was like, why would I want to store my, like, basically my private keys in my browser extension? Like, that just, like, to me that just screamed like insecure. And just like, why would I want to do that? Like, I'm gonna keep that on my, either my hardware wallet or like, you know, like a paper wallet, you know what I mean? Like something I'm like really trying to secure. So like, I didn't realize, like the thing that drove me towards like the extension wallet, which I think is what drove everyone towards the extension wallet really, was the fact that you could then integrate it with a website and you could log into a site with your wallet basically. And then, you know, functions on that site would interact with your wallet, which is like, I think that we can all agree that's like one of the, by far, like the most interesting like developments that's kind of happened in this space, and something that I didn't really see coming because to me that was just not even a factor when, you know, like in the past until I learned about it. And I think that's kind of what keeps us all around, is like the coolest stuff that can be integrated with that like wallet login thing, which is why MetaMask has like taken over so much. Like if there was no web login features available on MetaMask, like I think that, you know, Trust Wallet and Ledger would be the biggest wallets by far.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and something, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I saw 2 days ago that Avalanche is supposed to be integrated this month. Cosmos and Phantom are supposed to be in March, as well as Near, Polkadot, and Solana. So that's just, what, that's like 7 chains? 5? 6 chains, sorry. Can't do math. But just by the end of March. So they're literally just onboarding chains like mad.
One thing I wish they did was, I wish they did, like, saw that Doge was coming up next on the network and push that forward. But I guess hindsight's kind of 2020 with that. Anyway, I think it would have been good to have that for, like, the Doge community to be like, oh wait, there's a wallet we can download right now and like we can participate too, type thing.
Yeah, agreed. It's like they seem to be like having a balance between like what do their users want and like how much is it just kind of like following Thorchain. And I feel like they've gotten so popular that now like they have a user base that is outside of Thorchain too. Yeah, so it's like they have all these up. Yeah, exactly. It's like it started, like I was talking to him yesterday. It was just like, dude, like they were called like the Asgard X browser extension was like the name of their company or the name of their product. God. Like literally that's how XDeFi started. And, you know, now like they probably have users that don't even know what Thorchain is, honestly. I mean, it's probably still a relatively small portion of their users, but like clearly they're getting more requests for stuff like Avalanche or L2s and Solana or something like stuff that's not on Thorchain, right? So like they didn't really prioritize Doge even though it came out on Thorchain, probably just because their user base, like no one was asking for it, but they also didn't have a reason to ask for it because until it was on Thorchain there was nothing you could do with it. It's kind of like what you were just saying, Cal, is like, you know, there was no reason to connect your wallet to anything because there was nothing you could do with it. And that's kind of like an example of like Doge kind of literally just hit that point for the first time a month ago. Like before then, like what was the point of having a browser wallet for Doge? Like there's no reason to build that because there's nothing you can do with it. And now suddenly there is, and then like the wallets are behind, but it was cool. Like with the Ledger integration coming out so quick, like that, that blew me away. Like just how quickly, it came out like ahead of what I thought. Like I know it was being prioritized, but then suddenly it was just like, oh shit, it's here.
Yeah, that's actually a good question. Something that someone asked me answer this question was, you know, I know ThorSwap recently cracked the BTC and BCH and all those other Ledger integrations. I don't know if the ThorSwap team is working on the Terra like a direct integration there with the Ledger. I don't know if you know, Chad.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not 100% sure on that, so I don't want to say incorrectly, but you would be able to with XDeFi from day one.
Yeah,
so that's probably what I would go to for sure. But yeah, I'm not sure about the direct Ledger. That's a great question, though. I should look into that.
Yeah, I talked with Emil today a little bit because I really enjoyed the you guys talk yesterday. You know, I mean, Emil's really cool and. XDeFi team is just like crazy growth potential, like with that many like smart people that are very forward thinking about like you know, infrastructure choices that need to be made for longevity versus like getting things out really quickly. I have a lot of faith in them for delivering. He also told me he's into sneakers, so I'm getting him a pair of the Thor Forces. So
nice.
We're making it happen.
Should do like a custom XDeFi Dubre.
Yeah, I think I might. I'll have to
with an octopus.
A little bit about it. Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know if I announced this earlier, but there's going to be a Thorchain meetup in Denver this weekend on Saturday for people that are just community members and you know, so that's part of ETH Denver this weekend. If anyone's there or wants to go, I won't be there, but I'm going to be giving away a pair of Thor Forces to somebody who's there. Someone from Nine Realms is going to pick some random person that's there, and they're going to get a free pair of a free NFT, which is redeemable for a pair of Thorchain shoes. So, yeah, if you're in Denver or you're at ETH Denver right now, probably not anybody that's here, but check it out.
Nice. That's awesome. Very cool.
I know Chad B is there, although he forgot his shoes, but it's all right.
I wish I was going. I hear there's a lot of people there that are interesting to speak to.
Vitalik's there. I posted, by the way, I pinned a tweet up on top. Someone in the ThorChat's Discord a couple days ago posted this, and I just happened to see it, and I was like, wow, he's like literally talking about ThorChain without knowing. He's like subtweeting ThorChain about like cross chain interoperability. So if you have time, check out that pinned tweet above. It's just a clip from a interview with Vitalik on I believe Defiant News. Yeah. So he's just talking about cross chain and how as a bridge gets bigger, it inherently becomes less secure. So we need, you know, we need people that are creating a secure, decentralized swapping network instead of having walled gardens. And you can't watch that clip and not think like that's exactly what's being built here. He just doesn't know it's being built, which is crazy. So hopefully someone can get in touch with him this weekend.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that after this. I see the video. That's so he's just literally like basically describing ThorChain without saying ThorChain.
yeah. Listen to it. I mean, yeah. It the first like minute and a half are like basically that, and then he like trails off for a minute, and then he kind of comes back to it a little bit at the end. So it's worth the watch. Vitalik's really gives really good interviews too. Him on Lex Fridman podcast twice. Those are both fantastic. He's just some very interesting opinions, and I'm sure other people can relate. It's like really fun to listen to someone who has thought a lot about like the intricacies of like security and just the way that these networks operate very deeply. And he has his own opinions, and he's not always right or always wrong. He's just a guy who just has intricate opinions about things. So he's fun to listen to.
Do you know what he says about L2s? That's kind of the same bridging problem fundamentally, right? I mean, you basically have like a bunch of stuff locked up on one side. Like, does he find a problem with that? Do you know?
It's all kind of gray area. You know, it's like he's like, yeah, there's benefits, but there's also drawbacks. You know, it's all pretty nuanced, and it's more about the content, about like, the specifics of what he's saying, which I don't think I could sum up, and I don't think I've heard him talk about L2s extensively other than like ZK rollup technology, which I think he talked about on Lex Fridman's second podcast, which was really interesting, just as like a layer two scaling solution to Ethereum. But he didn't mention any specific networks on that podcast, but I'm sure he has mentioned Polygon before. Not that I listen to everything Vitalik says, but I definitely like to see what the leaders in the industry are like, talking about.
Well, and you're so
to me, like I think of Chad Barford as like this, like a very Vitalik type guy, you know.
Like, I know it's crazy. Like he could, like I was just talking with a friend earlier today about like Do Kwon and like just how he's like such a figurehead, like for people that are into Terra, which is like great, but it's also like kind of bad, you could say, just because it's like everyone kind of points to the leader and they're like, the leader will solve my problem. and Chad like very openly like does not want to be like such a figurehead, which is like such a difficult sort of balance, because I agree with you, he's like, he so could be, like he's got it. Like to me, he's more entertaining to listen to than like most of these figureheads of like some of the most major protocols, like basically all of them, honestly. Like
to me, it's the vision. Like he's got really nuanced opinions about like why things should be built the way that they are, and like, you know, ThorChain wasn't built like this to make like a token to pump. It's just like that's the way that this network has to be designed in order to have anonymous people run the network. You know, that's just the design of it. And that's the way that it has to work, because ThorChain is just a way to secure a multisig basically, and rotate a multisig between people who you don't know who they are to send out the correct transactions to the right people. That's basically what ThorChain is, and it has to be done in this way in order to be a truly decentralized network, which is what he's trying to do. And like I think they both share a lot of a lot of their ethos. I hate using that word so much, but you know what I'm talking about. Like they both share like the long-term thinking, the decentralized mindset, the, you know, hold your coins, not your keys, not your coins, type people. So I think they share a lot in common that way, and they're both just so smart about blockchain technology.
Totally, yeah. Chad could have hundreds of thousands of followers if he wanted to. I just think he wants to stay a bit low key, which is understandable. But what else are you guys excited about recently?
So I'm just going to take this back to Luna for a second. If you guys, I'm curious what your thoughts are. So obviously Anchor does that fixed rate 20%. That's usually around 19.5. The BUSD pool is like 29% right now. Do you think if the UST pool gets some, you know, legitimate traction and depth, do you think that will take away from any productivity on Anchor?
Well, I mean, it would still have the 50-50 exposure to Rune for the most part. So I feel like that is kind of a different person for the most part, unless it's somebody that, like, you know, wants to have that Rune, of course, or already does have the Rune. I think the synth vaults could be really interesting, right? Because, like, as far as I understand it, and I know that those designs are not really, like, locked in, but, like, the fixed rate synth vaults for each token are probably not going to be the same across the board, right? They're going to be, like, fixed based on the underlying pool performance. So that got me thinking, like, okay, if the UST pool is, like, super deep and super active, and the APY of the pool is like 40% or something like that, then it's like, okay, what could the fixed rate synth vault be? And it would obviously be like a tier down from that. Like, we don't really know yet, like, what proportion the synth yield would be of the overall yield. But it's interesting to think, like, you know, hypothetically, like, what if single-sided UST synth vault was like 22% and it was like higher than Anchor, then it's like, holy shit, this is massive. And I don't know if it would be. I think for the most part, it's kind of like 10 to 20% is kind of like the goal for those. But it's pretty insane to think, like, yeah, if this actually became like, you know, if there was a stable coin yield that was higher than Anchor, then, I mean, look at Anchor. Anchor has like 6 or 7 billion of, or I don't know if that's their total TVL.
It depends on the volume that they could drive in with the integrations, I think. Like,
yeah,
I think if they integrate, if Thorchain becomes like the main provider for like Terra Station or something like that, which they've said they're interested in doing, by the way.
I did not know that.
Chad said on the weekly update maybe 3 weeks ago that Terra Station was interested in integrating Thorchain. I don't know if that was that's just to add Bitcoin to the pools and the other coins that are supported, obviously, or if that's to kind of bake it all in. But yeah, I mean, the goal of Thorchain, right, is to be like the back end, and other people can just be like, oh yeah, we'll just hook into that and we'll just take, you know, we'll get our little revenue cut in there, and then we can do less dev work and we can just kind of cut some revenue off the top of the swaps that are happening by integrating Thorchain. So like, I think if they were to, if someone like Terra Station were to integrate UST and there was just a huge amount of volume coming out through today, I don't see why the APY couldn't be insane on that pool, because if there's so much volume coming through, that's just generating a huge amount of trading fees. So I think it, like, right now people, you know, trading BUSD, that's the most deep pool and then the pool with the most volume on Thorchain, but who's using it? People on like ThorSwap and arbitragers and things. But if there's like if there becomes this like huge network effect of adoption through you know, Terra apps integrating it and you know, wallets integrating it and things like that, then yeah, there could be huge volume coming through these pools, which is going to drive APYs huge. So
yeah,
we'll have to see.
And once there's like a big first mover like a Terra Station or something, then it feels inevitable that there will be like five more by like 2 weeks later or something. Like, I just feel like there's going to be this huge domino effect of like, right now I feel like all the big players are like, is it ready for us? But I feel like they'll just start, like, we're going to see this crazy momentum of all these new ones. And then tying into what you just said too, like, you could even see Anchor starting to use synths as their collateral option, right? Because like, where Anchor Borrow comes from, which like obviously ties up like a huge amount of their liquidity on Anchor, is like they're basically vaulting yield bearing like staking tokens, right? Like staked Luna, or staked, in their case they call it bonded, but essentially they're taking the staking rewards in order, you're forfeiting the
the staking rewards to Anchor in order to use it as collateral, which is the same exact thing that ThorFi is going to build out with any asset, right? So it's like, then you have Bitcoin. Bitcoin is going to be made yield bearing by being backed by the Bitcoin Rune liquidity pool. That is going to be used as collateral on ThorFi. There's definitely a case, like, I see this question a lot, like, oh, like, could Anchor integrate this? And as far as I understand, like, yeah, they definitely could. The question is, will they? I don't know. But even if they don't, like, this is going to, you'll be able to borrow UST against Bitcoin, against yield bearing Bitcoin.
And it also depends if Anchor can, like, make it work for their, like, if it becomes more profitable for them to just integrate ThorChain than to keep doing their current business, and that's what they'll do. If it's more profitable for them to just keep doing Anchor things, you know, and just ignore everything else, then that's what they're going to do. And,
well, I think they could do both, because this just gives them another collateral option, right? Like, they could keep doing what they're doing for Luna and Ethereum. I think that's all they have right now.
You're saying, like,
they're integrating more, though.
Yeah, they've been, I mean, to be fair, though, like, they've been saying that shit for, like, a really long time at this point. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I remember, like B Saul and B Adam, like, I swear they said those were coming soon, like, 6 months ago. So I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Back up here. People from ThorChain have been saying that.
That's true.
Coming for a
couple of times. Oh, no, totally. I mean, the
so,
whole
we are not ones to talk about that. So
No. Like, it's the whole space. I mean, there's a lot of ThorChain ecosystem projects that are doing this too. It's like, I'm really sick of just, like, the it's coming. And yeah, fair. Like, ThorChain is doing that too. But it's totally possible to think that, like, you know, Anchor could just add additional collateral options, like, that they would never be able to, right? Because like Anchor can't add Bitcoin as a collateral option, because the Bitcoin is not yield bearing. Like, that's their whole model, right? Is that they collect the rewards.
So they could just expand it to other products as well, as in, like, other coins as well, and then they can just start offering additional services and getting more revenue that way. They could easily do that.
Exactly. Like, they could take in synthetic Bitcoin, and then they could capture the yield by vaulting it, and then they are allowing you to borrow against it. I mean, this is the same thing that ThorFi is doing. Like, whether or not Anchor does it, it's going to happen. It's just a question of, like,
True. Are
we going to be able to tap into, like, all the Anchor user base as well, and kind of have that as, like, a marketing, like exposure to all those users? Or is it just going to be something that, like, you know, ThorSwap and all these other, like, you know, all the ThorChain ecosystem products start with? But over time, like, you're probably going to see, like, Terra products, or, like, other, who knows, like, every ecosystem might potentially integrate something like that.
Yeah.
Like, what if Aave did it?
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Someone from, I believe that's building on Anchor Protocol. If you want to say something, what's up, Advius Protocol? I don't know. Maybe they're not here.
Yeah, what I was saying, to go back to Dan's question as well, is, you know, me, Chad, and familiar with a lot of the discussions about the BUSD pool, you know, I don't know what the future is, but just given that BUSD is, you know, the most cheap and fastest way for you to, like, swap on ThorSwap, and right now, I think that's why it's the largest pool. But with the UST being more decentralized and just a deeper, I think it's going to be a deeper pool, to be quite honest with you. And as Chad mentioned in one of his really good threads, like, UST will effectively just become the de facto stable coin for swapping, right? So you can swap your UST to native Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever you really want. So really, I think some of the BUSD pool will likely transition over to the UST pool as well, and provide a higher yield. That's what I personally think. And what Chad and Familiar was just talking about a second ago about, you know, exporting the synthetics from ThorFi into Anchor, is something that the Bull actually brought up in one of the channels in LPU. And it has a really good graph of, like, what you can actually do with your synth. So be sure to check that out as well. But yeah, one of them was just, like, deposit back into Anchor with whatever synthetics you have from ThorFi.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know if, like, has Anchor actually, I don't know if Anchor's actually commented on it, but I think it's, like, definitely, like, you know, technically possible, right?
To my understanding, yeah. It's certainly possible, because you can export it via Cosmos. So I don't really see an issue there, because you could just export the synthetics over there and just park it into Anchor. And then I think if Anchor can do that, theoretically, shouldn't the other protocols
also be able to do that, or is it just, I'm not sure if it's just Anchor, but I know Anchor was talked about in the initial like ThorFi kind of synthetics.
Yeah, model. I guess like my question is just like, I don't know if Anchor has expressed any interest like publicly. Yeah. I believe you're right. Like I definitely think it's technically possible, but like I don't know if they've made any like sort of claim that they would actually like be moving towards that. But I feel it feels a bit inevitable. Like I would imagine they would want to, right? Like as these things get more, you know, kind of like more stable and are more, because that's like one of my concerns with Synths. Not even like a concern, but just like a question in my head is like, just like the ability to scale it, right? Because of like the, but there's like a lot of room to start, I think. But eventually I could see it being like, is it going to be tricky to like have synth space like available at all times? Or is it going to be something that's like kind of like how the caps were for a long time? Like, are they going to be like constantly maxed out? Hopefully not, but hopefully we can figure out the scaling of the underlying pools to exceed the growth of like the demand on the synth side.
Yeah, it's something I've been thinking about too. Just like, I hope that can scale like fairly quickly, but I know that it's going to be capped. I don't know. Like we just got to hope that it's a good experience for everybody. And like, really the synths are mostly for like arbitragers to, you know, correct prices more efficiently. And it's not really meant, it's not meant to be like a retail trading. Like this is, you know, you're going to be, because why would you not just want, wouldn't you just want the regular Bitcoin rather than.
Yeah. But the vault, Bitcoin? But the right, vault but, is the product, right? Like that's, what's going to be like the crazy insane demand thing. It's like the best product to ever come to crypto. It's like, wait, I can just lock up my Bitcoin and earn 12%. It's like, hell yeah, sign me up. It's like, that's going to have such a demand that it could exceed like the ability for the underlying LP to like back it. I just had a crazy idea. Like, I wonder if this has been thrown around before, but like, I know the idea is to have like fixed rate yield for the synth vaults, but like, imagine if there was like another incentive pendulum that would like lower the synth yield vault APY like really low to like incentivize more of the main LP depth. Like, what, like, can you kind of imagine what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. So you're like currently the incentive pendulum is between nodes and LPs. Essentially you're just trying to do LPs versus synth, right?
Yeah. It would be like another incentive pendulum that would like regulate like the synth yield, vault against the proportion of like how much synth is allowed based on the pool depth. Right. So it's like, if synths were almost maxed out, then maybe like the reward for the synth vault would like scale down to give more rewards to the LP, which would then like incentivize more LPing. And then maybe if there was plenty of space, then like the synth APY could like go up. I know it kind of goes against the fixed idea, but like, I don't know, just a thought, like it could be really interesting.
Yeah. I'd rather them work on like, you know, things that we could use instead of bad, but I think it's a good idea though. I made my share of ideas. I had an interesting idea I proposed to Chad like maybe a week or two ago, just like this random idea that I thought of. Do you want to hear about it? I'll tell you briefly.
Sure.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, I had an idea for Thor invoices or Thor Pay, right? Those are the two working names, which I've thought of more than probably the idea itself and if it's necessary. But the idea is that anyone would be able to submit an invoice to the network, which will be able to be paid in any currency. So basically, someone would submit a transaction to a Thor chain vault in Rune, like, you know, for whatever the cost of sending a Rune transaction is, 0.02 Rune. They submit a invoice that says what currency they want to be paid in, how much the invoice is for, so how much of that currency is required, whether that's pegged to a US dollar amount. So you can either peg it to a like a US dollar amount for an invoice, or a you know, a specific amount of ETH, for example, and then an address to send that currency that you've selected that you want to be paid into, and then you know, and then how many blocks it would be active for on the network. And then anyone would be able to submit a transaction for that invoice. You pay it to the network on and any currency that, and it has to be a an amount that's equal to the amount that the invoice is issued for. And then once it's paid, it gets automatically swapped, and the person gets paid in the currency that they want, even though that the person paying the invoice can pay it in any crypto that's supported by Thorchain, really.
So it's a payment solution, essentially, like using two different currencies if they want. Otherwise, you could just use the same one, right?
Right. Yeah. Basically, it'd just be a way to verify that. So that way, a shop can only receive whatever currency that they want, but someone else can pay in any currency that they want. But then,
correct.
The shop, like, it would all be handled by the network rather than some kind of another service that would handle something like that. Which is kind of the direction that he said, like, I don't think that really needs to be decentralized. I'm like, I mean, I guess it really doesn't, but. It'd be an interesting feature for to put out there to easily integrate into some kind of web store or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love just like trying to throw out ideas like this, and it's always funny because it's like maybe this is really smart, or maybe this is something they thought of like 3 years ago. And like
if anyone wanted an idea for like for another business you can make, that's an idea right there. You can just make that that's your centralized service. You could implement that into Shopify, and then you could have any kind of store pay in any crypto and receive it in Bitcoin or UST or whatever they prefer.
I could definitely see some like application uses there just for like payment rails and whatnot. You know what I mean? Especially with a faster network with lower transaction fees. So I think it's potential.
Sorry, it's in progress. Working idea. ThorPay.
Yeah,
that's probably not gonna happen. But yeah, anything else you guys wanted to talk about? Anyone else want to hop up? Otherwise, again, it's been almost 2 hours now.
Yeah, time flies on these. Let's see. Yeah, what else is? What's new? Yeah, so what's
exciting? We're just running these every week. Me and Chad Thoreau. This is the new show. It's Multichain Live. So we're just going to talk about multichain stuff that we're interested in. So,
is this the first week that you guys are running, or have I just been missing them?
Yeah, we've not had a name for it. We've just kind of just gone on with it, but we're gonna. Maybe we'll make it into a more formalized thing, but I kind of like the informal thing where anyone could just like hop up, like kind of like a sort of like a live radio show / podcast type thing where people can just like hop in and chat and hang out.
Yeah, we might like occasionally have like a guest and do more of like an interview sort of thing, but we've been doing these sorts of things like kind of on and off, but like we're semi formalizing it. Like it's still going to be loose, but like giving it a name and making it weekly is kind of the plan.
It's more like I don't want someone else to have the name Multichain Live. I want to be able to have that name. So like, because I think that's a baller name to have. So I wanted Multichain Live before anyone else was able to mint that.
Yeah,
well, you know,
I gotta run, but it was great chatting with you guys, and I hope you have a great rest of your night. And for what it's worth, I love the name Multichain Live.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, man.
Take it easy.
I'll catch you next time.
Hey, guys. I was going to say about synthetics. You know, I know one of their primary purposes will be arbitrage, but I was hoping, you know, that they could potentially become the default Raft-like assets for the whole Cosmos ecosystem, you know, Atom, Gravity Bridge, Osmosis, all that stuff. And, you know, just imagining that could be much greater volume than arbitrage potentially. And, you know, it would just be great to see the dynamic between Thorchain and the rest of the Cosmos stuff sometimes is weird. And, but it would be great to see that occur because these are going to be the highest quality quote-unquote wrapped assets out there.
What are the alternatives on Cosmos right now?
I don't see a lot, but everyone's working on, it seems like there's a ton of EVM to Cosmos flavored wrapped bridges. And so I think what you're going to see a ton of, you know, wrapped ETH come over. And then whatever's wrapped on ETH, I think you're going to see that double wrapped on Cosmos, which is inferior. I mean, that's just my guess.
You know, they say never to wrap it twice. They say that's pretty insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Just like,
The wrapping is just such like a duct tape solution. Like, I don't know if what other synthetics are going on, like in the IBC world. I mean, I'm not super in that world, but I haven't really seen much. Not much has crossed my radar. So yeah, I agree with you, dude. Like, I mean, I think, like I've seen kind of the argument of like synths kind of being like, almost like a L2 in a way. Right. And, yeah, like I could see this stuff being like powering all sorts of like decentralized trading within like just within like the IBC ecosystem. And I think one thing you brought like touched on too a bit that I think is something we can all kind of work on is I think there's just been like a general misunderstanding of like Thorchain versus IBC sort of stuff. And like people hearing like, oh, Thorchain doesn't use IBC. And then they're like, they just like stop paying attention to it. And I think people are kind of like missing that like the like it's still very much connected to that world. You're just not gonna have IBC assets like in Thorchain pools, but basically everything else we've ever talked about with Thorchain is like completely applies to IBC and actually like integrates directly with it, with like beaming assets out into IBC. So I think it's like just we need like to get that clarity out there and hopefully they roll that out soon. You know, like I know Chad said it's not too complicated, but hopefully that comes like pretty quickly after synths roll out.
Sometimes I feel like the people who like the Cosmos people, they think that you can beam like native Bitcoin, like you can just IBC it or something like that. I think they just kind of forget that you just can't do that.
Yeah, I think I agree. And like, I think IBC is really cool, but I think there's like, there's just like a very general misunderstanding. It, like they think like people are like, oh, well, how is IBC different than Thorchain? It's like, well, IBC is just IBC assets. Like it's not, there's not native anything in IBC. Like they're all essentially wrapped tokens. It's like I made this analogy like a week or two ago about like Thorchain, like connecting all these different islands, you know? And I feel like in that analogy, IBC is like a string of islands with like bridges between those islands, and they're all kind of interconnected. But it doesn't actually bring in and out like stuff that's outside of IBC, right? Like it's
like Japan. They have like the really high speed like motor, like you know the bullet trains and shit. Like they've got those, and they're like, why doesn't everyone just use a bullet train? And it's like, well, you can't bring one from all the way over there. You can't put it all the way across the ocean.
You can't cross the Atlantic Ocean like in a train. That's a great way of looking at it.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it works great over there. Like I'm sure everyone's like really happy with their bullet trains. They look really cool, you know.
Yeah, IBC is great for IBC.
we need an airplane, you know. That's what we need. We need the airplane.
Yeah. Can you remind me what was, I believe it was some sort of like structural or like the way that Thorchain built its initial infrastructure, but why was IBC not initially compatible with Thorchain?
IBC didn't exist.
But it's also the economic security. So, you know, Thorchain always has more rune bonded than the foreign assets it contains. And as far as I understand it, IBC doesn't have that feature. Right. So when I, you know, if these things are ever going to scale up to like, you know, mega levels, IBC is going to be economically insecure. That's what I heard, my basic level of understanding.
Yeah, that's my basic understanding too. And it makes me wonder, like, it definitely like a gap in my knowledge is like, how is that different than like, say, like I know Chad B has like expressed concerns about like L2s for as far as I understand, like that's a very similar sort of problem, right? So I'm curious like how that's kind of different. It's like, why does he entertain the idea of doing that with like L2s versus like a hard no for IBC? Like I don't quite fully understand.
You mean just like integration on Thorchain?
Yeah, because like with IBC, right? It's like the reason I think, and I don't fully understand the technicals here, but like I think the core reason why IBC assets aren't brought into Thorchain itself is that like economic security reason, right? It's because you're having like a wrapped asset. And I don't know a ton about L2s, but like I know that there's like people that are concerned about like the general security of L2s, right? Because like you're essentially like, isn't all that liquidity basically bridged in from the beginning? And that's like, it kind of has the same issue, right?
Are you sure that they're against having IBC assets on there? I thought it was just against like using the technology for Thorchain, because A, it didn't exist when it started, and B, you can't do that with Bitcoin. unless and other EVM chains.
Unless I'm confused, I'm pretty sure Chad B has said you cannot have an IBC asset like in Thorchain itself. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's kind of like what causes a lot of the, you know, some people to be upset. Yeah.
I think on an L2, like assets that are on an L2 are in a sense native to that L2. They have to eventually go down to ETH, be converted to ETH, and then sent bridged over to Ethereum. But I think something on like Polygon, etc., Matic, I think those tokens are in a sense native to that. And so they don't have the bridging insecurity that IBC does. Whereas if you had like whatever wrapped Bitcoin on IBC, you wouldn't want it on Thorchain because it's economically insecure in the long run. Or I could be wrong. That's my understanding.
Yeah. Anything else we should discuss tonight? What's hot right now? People talking about Prism? That's pricey.
The bank run on Canada? How about that?
Oh, Canada bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, honestly, all that stuff just makes me more bullish on Bitcoin. And that's why I don't even consider any of these other networks that don't have Bitcoin on it, because like you can't ignore Bitcoin. You know what I mean? It's not going to work out well for you in the long run to do that, I don't think. So that's why I think it's just so cool how much Bitcoin that the Thorchain network has and is securing in its vaults, and how much that's going to grow. Celsius has like 120,000 Bitcoins or something ludicrous like that. And I think that's going to be crazy when it's a decentralized network that's securing that many BTC, especially, you know, 10 years from now.
Yeah, apparently they're like doxing some of the people and they're locking up their bank accounts, and a bunch of the bank services are going offline because everyone's trying to pull their money out. It's a bit scary. But it's just kind of like a massive advertisement for crypto, right? Like just censorless, permissionless, the ability to just trade without a need for a centralized party like the government or a bank, right? It's just
you realize
it's so
that
clear.
It can happen
exactly.
So easily. You know?
Exactly.
It's like kind of funny though, in a way, is like Bitcoin is dropping today. And that's like, it's probably because of like this macro bullshit going on. And it's just like, like on some level, it's just so frustrating, right? It's just like there's still so much liquidity that is just like traders, and like it just shouldn't be like that, right? Like it fundamentally, if anything, Bitcoin should be freaking shooting up like when that shit is happening. But it's like somehow like there's still so much like just automated trading and bullshit that like will drive the price down on a day like when there's news like that. It's just like annoying and stupid, right?
I think it's just because we're still so relatively early, right? I mean, Bitcoin itself is what, like a billion or a little bit more, I can't remember exactly how much, but in comparison to the rest of the world and like the world economies, it's still such a small amount in money, right? So even when there's this like massive macroeconomic like headwind or tailwind, it's just moving so correlated with the stock market and other markets. But I think at some point it will decouple. When that is, yeah, I have no idea. But I think as the technology matures and the market matures with more institutional money and less more retail as well, you'll probably start to see like less fluctuations in the volatility of the coins and in all the markets, right? Eventually.
For sure. Yeah. I think like, you know, the vast majority still just doesn't even know what they're holding, right? I mean, they're just like bought it because somebody told them it's going to go up or whatever. Like they're not truly understanding the big picture, which again, just like an education problem, right?
Yeah. Ukraine also legalized Bitcoin today, I believe. Like, I don't know if it was like banned before and they just legalized it or something, but that's a definitely an interesting move. And like, that's something that like, you know, countries can use that to their advantage to, you know, peg prices in Bitcoin or something. Like, I know that's like pretty much what a lot of like macro people are like talk about, like having oil basically priced in Bitcoin or something, something like that, to basically give the US dollar less power globally. Now that I really know what I'm talking about when it comes to this, so I should try not to sound like an idiot. So yeah, it's just very interesting macro things at play. And I think, you know, that narrative will come.
Should we wrap up? We're at two hours.
2 hours plus.
Sure, bro. Yeah, thanks everyone for hopping on. Yeah, we'll be doing these weekly. So yeah, me, Chad, whoever wants to hop on. These are just chill things. This is the first official multi-chain live. I guess we're gonna try and do this weekly. Get people on if this is just a fun thing. Anyone can come on. We can just talk about stuff. So
yeah,
share what it is you're excited about.
Yeah, if people have friends that are brand new, bring them on to ask questions from the very beginning, stuff like that. We definitely want to make it a space where there's no dumb questions, stuff like that. We talked about this earlier, but we just need to make this space more welcoming and more understandable from the beginning. So I think that's kind of part of our goal here. To talk about updates, but also just to just bring people in and share what we're excited about with all this.
Yeah, we got weekly update tomorrow with Cordes. You guys see he's going to come on 12 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Just updates from the core devs of Thorchain. So someone will be on to ask questions too if anyone has more general questions or questions about future updates.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Multi-Chain Live with Thorchain, Luna, Bitcoin, and more. Recorded on Thursday, February 17th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Follow Orbital Command on Twitter using the link in the show notes to receive regular threads on Terra protocols and yield strategies, news, resources, and Twitter space discussions. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving. Try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits. Going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics. Stretching out the distance, for instance, let me be specific. The risk is hedge funding the business. Betting on the difference, ingesting all the research. Sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first. Sleep tight, little dreamer. Early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor. Taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension. Something to endear myself a little bit. Something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. When it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling up, I'm in a bowl with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is. But it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives unto ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Terra Spaces.